now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hop Along John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors fishing and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hop Along, John Cassidy.
Hey, thank you, Mark Larson, and welcome, Southern California, to another Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio, live here on AM 540 Radio Zion. It is our pleasure to welcome you to tonight's show. I know there's a lot of distractions out there right now, but I think we've put together a show that is going to be worth your time listening to. Hey, let me give you an idea just what is up. You know, we're coming to the end of 2022. Looking at 2023, but you know what? There's still a lot of December left, and there are things that we can be doing preparing for 2023 and still going after fish in 2022. Let me tell you how our guests are going to relate to these subjects. Hey, my personal reel repair guy for the shop here, Matt Cox, is going to be with us. This is the time to bring in your reels. If you have no other fishing that you're planning for 2022, right now, lead times are really good. We're going to talk to Matt, talk about some of the things you should be looking for, what to look for if you are bringing your reel in, or if you think you can get away with another trip. We'll be talking to Matt about some of the things that should be on your checklist when it comes to bringing your reels in for refurbishing. And then later on in the hour, we're going to find out what's happening at the landings. Danny Wade is going to be with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming offshore when it comes to rock fishing, and just see if the bluefin tuna and the yellowfin are still about. So Danny Wade will be with us from H&M Landing. And then my in-studio guest is Mr. Rob Tressler. Rob, welcome to the show, guy.
Hey, John. Glad to be here. Happy holidays, everybody.
Right. Rob is a recreational tuna fisherman extraordinaire. We're going to talk about the latest trip Rob has been on, and we're going to talk about some of the techniques you should know and go back and forth between myself and Stan and Rob and just talk about what you need to know to maybe make your next tuna trip successful. But before we get to that, first of all, let me introduce to you my co-host for Rod and Reel Radio. First, Wendy Toshihara is on The American Angler, and if you're following Wendy
yes.
on Facebook, she is on one heck of a trip. I know they're in big time to Wahoo, and they're into Yellowtail. I haven't heard much about the tuna yet, but you know if Wendy and Lori and a bunch of that gang is aboard on one vessel, you know, they're having a party, and it's disguised as a tuna trip. But so Wendy will be back next week. But my other co-host is here, fresh from Texas, where he was visiting the family for the holidays. He is the voice of 1-800-BASS-BOAT, pretty darn good fresh and saltwater angler in his own right, Stan Vanderberg. Stan, welcome back, sir.
Well, good to be back, John. Good evening, everybody. And the season goes on. This is an amazing situation we have here in Southern California. I got to tell you, I just got off a long range. Wendy's on a long range trip. The variety of fish and where you're catching them, it continues to change. That's the wonderful thing about the world of fishing and what we have here in Southern California with Mexico offshore plus our own offshore fishing. Pretty amazing. That's about all I got to say.
Well, Stan, why don't we get, and Rob, let's bring you in on this too. We were having a little discussion before we came on the air about What is pulling harder right now, yellowfin tuna or bluefin tuna? And Stan, you've had both on. Rob, you've had both on. Stan, let's start off with you on what you think the general consensus of opinion is.
Well, I think it's when you hang them, I don't care what you, when you hang that 200-pound fish, let's just use one of those big ones, 150 to 200-pound fish. When you hang that fish, and it can be, let's say you got a 150-pound, we call them teenagers, you know, that could be the worst fish you ever hooked. It may take you around the boat 8 times, and then you get it up, and it's disappointing only because it is a 150-pounder, and you were thinking it was a 250-pounder. And that can happen with bluefin. It can happen with yellowfin. The bluefin that we've been catching here, and I've got them up to pulled up 280, several over two over the years here. But in the yellowfin, I've got them up to 258. I haven't got them. I've never got a 3. I've had a chance to pull on them, but I think that fish, especially this fish we just got into down below, they were 300-pound fish though. They were, and that's a different ball game when our largest was 356. The next one was 338 or something like that, or 328. And then we got a rat 211-pounder. So, you know, we lost a contingent of fish with qualified, really excellent anglers with all the right gear. And it came to the test of a lot of the time these fish will not eat anything over 100 pounds. So you're fishing with a 100-pound string, 100-pound Spectra, or 130-pound Spectra, 100-pound fluorocarbon top shot. And these things just would pull and pull and pull and pull. I mean, we went round and round and round the boat, and then they'd lean down on the fish with the right rod. I mean, I was pulling on a guy that tapped out with a 3x5, which is bigger than the next one up from the 2x4, and a 50.
Wow.
And I couldn't, I mean, I'm pretty good at pulling these things. I've got enough of them. But I was impressed, you know, and he goes, "What do you think?" And I'm going, "Man, you can't budge this thing." And the crew, you know, we were up on the bow playing around with the anchor line, naturally. And the crew would get it, and you had to back it off. When you're up on the bow, by the way, what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, there's the anchor rope goes down, and these fish come up, and they'll either go around the anchor line or under the anchor line, and you've got the crew actually has to jump up on the bow, one guy at least, and sometimes two, and you hand the rod to them. They've got to back off the drag, go underneath the anchor line, pull up the rod on the other side, and then start turning the handle again, and then watch where the line goes, right, left, forward, back, to find out what to do with the rod next. It's quite the game. And these guys, sometimes you got two guys standing on the rail, on the bow, on each side, one with a rod in each hand, trying to figure out what to do with this fish. And it's quite the exciting moment there when you got these things on. But when you swing around and they get the fish on whatever the opposite side of the boat, you slide that drag back forward and start trying to turn the handle, and you've got the rod on the rail, your hand is on the reel. The guys that do this a lot, your hand is on the side of the reel, left hand, and you're squeezing the spool because there's a lot of line off your rod, off the rod already, with your left hand to stop the drag from going out, even if you've got it on full. And a lot of times the guys will bend when the fish starts to bend the rod, you'll grab the other hand and have two hands on the spool from each side trying to stop the spool from spinning. You can't break a 100-pound line just on a straight pull like that, and your rod's bent into the fish too. But when you feel the horsepower of a 300-pound fish, It's an eye opener. I've never got one on board. I've pulled on at least 3 that I know of, but that is a lot of horsepower. The yellowfin's got this larger, broader tail, And they seem to be able to know how to use that too. And they've got these long sickles that they can move back and forth too, which help them kind of like the albacore, but they go straight up and down. The speed that the fish moves, I think the bluefin move a little faster through the water when they're pulling. But I don't know. So far, I think the yellowfin have got it for straight pull power with that bigger tail. And then for whatever reason, all the guys who were on the boat there on my trip there that have knowledge were of the consensus that this is just an angrier fish. Maybe it's a different school or different breed or whatever it is, but that fish that we hooked into down there, because I know the Excel only got three of them, they were right, you know, half a mile back from us. And well, I don't know how many they hooked.
Stan, yeah. Let's find out from Rob. Rob, I know you do not have the long-range experience that Stan has.
When I grow up, I hope to.
Yeah, but you have indeed pulled on some yellowfin. You pulled on some bluefin. Tell us, what are your thoughts?
Well, it boils down to the fish for me is what I've had. I've had yellowfin that kicked my teeth in, and not caught anything bigger than 100 pounds on the yellowfin front up here. And I've had bluefin. One of my worst fights of my life on any pelagic was, as it turned out to my embarrassment, a 62-pound bluefin. And that was 45 minutes of hell. And it wasn't with ultralight gear. It was on a 30-pound setup. And, I mean, a 30-pound setup with 60-pound fish usually is a piece of cake. And I've had, 220-pound bluefin, multiple 220. Last year, I think I caught 8 or 9 over 2. And I've had some that just roll over and play dead. And I've had some that just beat the daylights out of me. And that's true. And you're right. That one thing you are right about, that angry teenager stuff, that 150 to 185, we were on the Top Gun 80, and my buddy John, who's an experienced angler, and he's killed fish up to 160 repeatedly, he hooked one for 3 hours, nine laps around the boat. It weighed 142 pounds on 100-pound gear. It beat the daylights out of him, and I couldn't believe it. In fact, I gave him gas because he's 35 years old. He's a professional rock climber, you know, super fit. And I've watched him kill fish. He killed a 165 on 50-pound in like 25 minutes last season. And this thing was a three-hour trip for him. And I hooked one right after him, and I put mine on the boat in 20 minutes. And mine was bigger by about 30 pounds. So me being the old 67-year-old coot, I wrote him really hard about that one. But it's just a reflection of the fish, you know, individual fish can give you a hard time. I've had yellowfin, and it's like I thought, wow, I've got 120-pound bluefin, and it comes up, and it's a 70-pound yellowfin. By the same token, that they get into that circle where the rod is just knobbing and bumping, and it just does it forever, and you can't seem to jackhammer them up. But then again, I've seen we were on the Thunderbird 4 years ago, specifically focusing on giant bluefin, with Jeffrey Markham, and a young man who knew what he was doing, had an unlimited rod and an Avett 50 wide, bolted stupid tight, with 150-pound, 700-and-something yards, 150-pound Spectra on it, Iser, and he got spooled. And I was like, your drag's not tight enough. It is, Rob. Here, grab the rod. I said, it nearly yanked me overboard. This guy's like 225 pounds. I said, okay. And this was a bluefin, and it walked off, you know, just goodbye. And then last year, Adam Wilson on the New Land, the captain of the New Land, and Adam is strong as an ox, was on a bluefin for 2.5 hours. They never saw it. They never stopped it. It just swam off and left him. So, and on the East Coast, which is really weird, because I thought, you know, it makes sense hydrodynamically. The larger tail on the yellowfin should make for a harder fight. But at the end of the day, this musculoskeletal structure of the two fish is pretty similar. Therefore, you know, I think you're right. The bluefin has an acceleration, whereas the yellowfin just kicks harder, you know, has a bigger kick. So I think it's time of the day and individual fish, because I read an article in one of the East Coast magazines. They said they did a survey of the anglers on the East Coast. Now, that's a different bluefin subspecies, admittedly, and yellowfin as well. But they said the consensus there is that the bluefin per pound pull a bit harder than the yellowfin. So it's all over the map. And at the end of the day, you know, some of my worst fights have been not with the biggest fish. In fact, they haven't been with the biggest fish. I killed a 240 last year, and it took 25 minutes. Whereas, you know, I had a 62-pounder, or that 150-pounder I caught this year took an hour and 15 minutes, and that was a nightmare. And that was on 50-pound, which should have been manageable, you know?
It's the great part about the sport, you know, because every one of these fish is its own entity. And, you know, and you hang the one, and you're fishing with 30-pound, and you got the right rod, you know, something that's 40-pound capacity and can actually lift.
Yeah.
And you're on that one fish that just – and there's a grip load of that fish out there this year with that 60 to 80-pound. If you hung them on 30, you were on them forever, and a lot of times you didn't land them. They just will not come up.
I saw a lot of that this year on the sport.
Tons of it, you know, and I mean, I was witness to it. I had it happen to me where you hang the right one and you can get them in. You hang the wrong one and it's just an angrier fish, whatever it is. I don't know that there's a school of bad boys and whatever. But I like the yellowfin fishing because it's a little different than the, you know, the
oh, yeah,
not
absolutely.
A lot, but a little bit different than the bluefin fishing.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. We're going to have to take a break right now, but for you listeners, this is going to be a sample of what we're going to be talking about later on, because obviously Stan will be here and Rob will be with us, and we'll be talking tuna fishing in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But we got a break right now because we've got a couple of guests coming up in the next couple of segments, Mark Cox, Reel Repair Guy, and also Danny Wade. So stay tuned. There's still a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come. After these messages.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft-plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success of the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish a tournament circuit like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you, and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
The perfect day is my family and I on the boat out on the waterway. I love it. Nothing but sun, snacks, fishing, and of course, life jackets for everyone. Save the ones you love. Life jackets save lives. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Since being established in 2015, CCA has achieved great success for the entire sport fishing industry in the fight for our right to fish here in California. 2021 brought us plenty of success, but every year brings new battles, and we need your help. One of the best ways to help support CCA Cal is to join us and become a member, because strength is certainly in our numbers. Become a member today by logging on to joincca.org. Membership starts at $35 per year, and that is one of the best ways to help us while you go fishing.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the fishing boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. Did you know that when you donate blood, you're not only helping others, you're also helping yourself? Donating blood lowers the risk of heart attacks in men by more than 70%, lowers the risk of developing cancer, and helps you maintain a healthy liver. So donate blood. to help someone else, and to help yourself. If you can't donate, you can still make a difference with the financial gift. It's the best way to give back. Hook, line, and sinker. And for more information and to make a financial donation or an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org. That's the sandiegobloodbank.org. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket and make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
And we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan Vandenberg's with me tonight. Also, my in-studio guest, Rob Tressler. But we're going to take a little break from talking about tuna fishing, but maybe not that big of a break, because I have with us my reel repair guy here for Angler's Arsenal. He repairs freshwater, saltwater, spinning, antiques, just about anything with a handle on it that you can reel. I think my guy will repair for you. It's Matt Cox. Matt, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio, sir.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, we are doing good. You know, we're talking about 2022 just about being over, getting ready for the 2023 season. And I guess the big thing to ask for you, guys are saying, you know, should this be a time to bring my reel in? And when should I bring my reel in? I mean, at what point? What, will I know when it's time, or should I bring it in automatically? And what is your feeling about the schedule of maintenance on, especially a lot of these reels we're using right now on the saltwater scene for these big bluefin tuna?
Well, if you're planning on hanging it up for the season, just go ahead and bring them on in. You know, the sooner they're done, the sooner you can get back on the water with them.
You know, the what are you finding that, what are a lot of the main problems that guys are experiencing when you bring in reels that have been used, you know, for two or three trips during the course of the year?
Well, most of the time it's bearing corrosion, bearing rust, they seize up on you. You know, a lot of guys, they get home, they just put the gear in the garage and they forget about it. And that salt water or fresh water that's in there just seizes up your bearings and stuff. So when you rinse off your gear, you know, tap the rod butt on the ground, get that excess water out of there, spin the handle, get as much water as you can out of there. And if the left side plate or right side plate comes apart, take that spool out and, you know, just lay it on a towel. Just let it dry out.
Now, I know a lot of people, they like to use different sprays to bring on, to spray on their reels. Like, you know, there's a number of brands out there, but I've known from experience and when working with you that that's not exactly the best thing to do.
Just the old standard salt water or warm water. You know, if you take them off the rod, you know, rinse them under the sink in the kitchen, bathroom, or outside, wherever you got the water. And like I said, if the side plate comes apart, you know, on the left side or right side, just shake all that excess water out of there and just let it sit on a towel and put it back together.
And how about drags? How do fishermen realize that, hey, the drags on my reels are burnt, or I should at least bring the reel in and have new drags put on it?
A lot of the times, like I said, when the guys get off the water, they just, you know, throw them in the garage and they deal with them later. Most of the time, the star drags button down, and sometimes the salt water gets in there and just seizes up your drag washers. After you're done rinsing them off, back that star off, you know, get those drag washers to, you know, expand out.
Yeah. How about the drags that you use when you're working on reels here? Tell us about the variety of drags. I mean, are there times when you're actually upgrading the drags from the drags that are in there from the manufacturer, or what?
Yeah. Most of the times, you know, they're like a plastic washer. You know, you just upgrade them with like an HT100 or Carbon-Tex drags. Most of the times, you know, you slightly grease them or just throw them in the way they are. But, yeah, they're the drags that I use to upgrade sometimes the fat manufacturer uses.
And, you know, we're, you know, kind of talking about bait casters, but when it comes to spinning gear, Same advice for people that are using spinning gears, especially where we're seeing fellas using 8,000, 10,000, 12,000 size reels for some of these fish we have now.
As far as the drags, yeah, just same thing. Just rinse them off, you know, back off that drag knob. Saves your drag washer from being compressed all the time and not working for it.
You know, how about when it comes to guys servicing their own reels? Is there simple maintenance that they can do that you recommend and or follow what the manufacturers recommend?
Some of them out there are easy. Some of them are hard. You know, they got a lot of parts in them, springs and small screws. And if you're able to do them, just, you know, just some light grease, some light oil. And that's about it. It's pretty simple if you know how to do, you know, if you know what you're doing.
How about the bearings? You know, when you've got the spool bearing or when you have the level wind bearing or anything like that, do you hit that with oil or what should you do? Because, you know, a lot of those bearings take grease. So when do you use what?
Because they put grease on it. Well, the grease is just slowing that bearing down where you're not getting enough cast control on the cast. And just plain oil. That's all you need to put in a bearing. You start putting grease in there, it slows everything down.
All kinds of oil out there. Is there a recommendation? A lot of the manufacturers make oil. There's general purpose oil out there. What type of an oil do you like to use, Matt?
I use the oil from Smoothie. It's pretty good. It's up on everything. And back in the day, I used to use canola oil and vegetable oil when I ran out of oil.
Well, we hate to see it. You know, we open up the reels sometimes, and it does look like they're suffering from a buildup cholesterol, so I can see why canola oil would be good.
That's pretty funny. Back in the days of yore.
The lever drags, where you're constantly putting it in and out of gear, well, when you're putting it in, it gets pressing on that pinion gear and that bearing. Sometimes I would recommend putting grease in, because, you know, some of them, you know, sounds like you're grinding rocks in it.
Matt, Stan has a comment. Stan, go.
Say, back in the day of the Penn, you know, Jigmaster Junior, the 150, the Squitter, you'd catch a few fish on it, and those old drags they had in there, so that the public knows there's a system of stacked washers on the spindle here that you can tighten down against it, and it makes the pressure of the reel, when the line pulls off, you get more pressure that way per pound, you know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds of pressure, whatever, pulling the other direction. But when you did it at speed with the older drag systems that we had, you've got to think of like sweating a bead on a pipe if you're a plumber and putting, you know, solder on there, heating up the area, and then putting something around the outside. And it didn't matter what you put on the outside, whether it's solder or flux or water or sand, it doesn't make any difference. It gets sucked into that heated area. It just pulls it in like suction, and it gets into your drag systems, and it's still the same. It pulls that in. It's just physics. And under heat, that sand, that the salt and the oils and the water and moisture that gets in there and the dirt, whatever it is, under heat, it becomes like a glue, and it starts sticking your drags together. We used to, in the old days, you had to, every night, guys were changing out drag washers on the old reels with the composite products that are on the market now and that changes in the drag systems, where you've got titanium plates that are squeezed up against a composite material. You still have that same system. It still will pull the product that you put into your reel into that drag system and into your bearings, because the bearings get heated up too. So they will pull anything, that extra salt spray and stuff that you don't think about, that you're on the boat for 3 or 4 or 5 days at a time. Maybe you went out a few times this year and you don't have to think, that's no big deal, I rinsed them off. Rinsing your reels off is one thing, but I mean, if you use a little bit, get a bucket, get some warm water, not hot, just warm, and throw a couple ounces of white vinegar in there It'll dissolve the salt. That helps a bundle. Turn the handle on the reel. Use your clicker back and forth. You know, if you get a two-speed, use, you know, click everything on and off and turn the handle on that. That'll help get that salt product out. And like he was saying, set it down someplace where your spool can dry. Where the Spectra holds a bit of water in there, and everybody's got a load of Spectra on the reel. Don't just shove it back in a bag. Let it dry out for a few days in an area ahead of time. Otherwise, you're going to have problems, one, with this corrosion of the spools, and you're going to have real problems with corrosion on your bearings on the inside. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff is it's physics a lot of how the drag systems work and how that all that material gets pulled into your bearings and your drag systems. And if you happen to get the wrong stuff in there on the best of the reels, and it doesn't make any difference whose it is, you'll get a spot that's like glue, and it will start making a problem, and your drags or your bearings will freeze up or just not work correctly. And that's where his knowledge is coming into play. You know, hey, just take some time on your reels and, you know, rinse them off the right way. There's oils that have been around. Inox is a great one from over here from Australia, where they used it in the salt mines to spray even the light fixtures and everything so they wouldn't corrode. It was a great product. It's now called Get Some. It's around. It's just harder to find. Great product. The reel manufacturers actually utilize that product before you get the reel. That's what they put on. That's one of the products that's out there. Reel Speed. Tim Goldman has a product that's really great for getting the salt out of your bearings. It'll save your trip if you have a problem with that. You can get a hold of them too. You can go online for Reel Speed lubricant. Those things will help save your trip, but you'll still need to take care of your reels. You have a guy like telling you here, right, bring it in, have it serviced. If you've used it a couple of times and you're thinking it's fine, it's not going to be that. And with the compression, if you don't pull off the drag on your lever drags or back off on your star drags, you know, that's just going to make a glued down composite area right there. So you'll have problems the next season. Listen to what the man's saying.
Yeah, Matt, we, you know, been talking about saltwater reels, but same with freshwater. What are some of the factors that cause the performance of our freshwater reels to not perform like the way they came out of the box?
Same thing, water, whether it's fresh or salt, it's going to get into your bearings and it's going to create problems. You may think, oh, it's just fresh water. It's nothing, you know, it's not a big deal. But yeah, it does get in there and messes up your bearings. A lot of reels nowadays have like 11, 12 bearings in there. So the water's going to get in there eventually. There's no sealed reel out there. Even though they say they're sealed, water's going to get in there.
Yeah. Hey, let me bring in Rob Tressler here. Rob, you go out almost every weekend. Normally, Lori is accompanying you. I've been to your home. You have a couple of reels sitting not only on the shelf, but and you must go through reels. Do you have a plan of maintenance or what you do with regards to taking care of the reels that you fish with?
We do apply some of Matt's reels, but mine as good as we can. Those reels that it's easy to get the side plate off, I do pop them off and a drop of oil on the bearings and, you know, rinse them in a mild rinse in lukewarm water, you know, typically is done, and then let them sit on a towel and dry as a maintenance effort. And obviously we're very prompt about when we get home of rinsing with lukewarm water everything off to try and minimize wear and tear. We put over 100 days a year on average on sport boats with our gear, and we fish the daylights out of it. In fact, Matt's... I'm a regular customer of his. Thank you for your patience, sir, and thank you for fixing everything you got to fix. The thing we've learned is I'm not super duper on maintenance, especially with the two-speed lever drags. I popped one open one time. Five springs went different places with screws and stuff on the carpet, so I quit doing that. Until I get a workshop of my own where I can do it without the dog and Lori around, I'm not going to ever do that again.
I can't. There's C-clips and springs all over the place. To this day, I still have no idea where they are.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they disappear into a fifth dimension or something. That's like, what the hell? Yeah. I know it's here somewhere, and you can't never find it. It's like a lost sock. But, I try to do the basics. I do back off all the drags after they've been soaked. and drying. I back off the star drags. I back off the lever drags. I've heard mixed stories on that one, Matt. I've heard some people say don't back off your lever drag because then water will intrude after you've rinsed it off. And I'm like, that sounds a bit odd. It seems like you'd want to, you know, try to make sure you rinse all surfaces you can with fresh water that's relatively speaking non-corrosive as long as you drip dry it. What's your view on that?
Like I said, water's going to get into your reel either way. You know, a lot of the side plates, if you look at them, they got little holes around the edges. It's just places for water to get into on the lever drag. There's a company out there that the metal disc and the drag washers, they rust, even though they say keep it in gear, put it out of gear. Me personally, it don't matter if it's in gear or out of gear, as long as you know, rinse it off, get as much salt water and fresh water out of there.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it don't make a difference.
Well, guys, I got to tell you, I've had Matt doing reels for us for well over 20 years. And
thank you, Matt.
He's done everything from simple maintenance to me handing him a bag of parts and said, Matt, have at it. Guys, this is a good time to get your reels in and bring them into your local tackle stores. They will take care of them. Obviously, we'll take care of them here at Angler's Arsenal. If you're not in the range of a store that you have confidence in that will do them, just give us a call and send them on in to us. We get a lot of guys, especially from Arizona, that send reels into us, and we take care of them. Whether it's a simple little Bantam from 1980 or whether it's, you know, the Avets and the reels that were the Daiwas that we're using today, we can take care of them for you. And, Matt, I appreciate the time you take to be with us, and thanks for the great work, okay?
You're welcome, John. I'll see you Wednesday.
I got a quick question for him. Matt, are you able to work on some of the older Shimano reels and repair the or replace the bearings on those where Shimano quit doing those?
Yeah, pretty much the bearings that are on the market that I use can be interchangeable with Daiwa, Shimano, some of the Avets, Accurates.
That's worthwhile right there.
Because most of them were bushings, and then with the bearings, and then, like you said, they discontinued some of those models, but some of the bearings can still be put in them.
All right. Hey, Matt, we're going to have to hang this up for now, but thanks a lot for the great work. And, guys, it's time to bring those reels in if you're not going to be fishing within the next few weeks or so. I've got to tell you, Matt's lead time with us is great. It's normally a week or two. If there are some unique parts, it might take longer, and you'll find the prices very affordable. Matt Cox, thanks a lot, and we look forward to seeing you during this upcoming week, okay?
All right, you guys have a good evening.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, Danny Wade from H&M Landing is going to be with us. Let's get an update on what's happening at the landings, but you're going to have to wait because we have these commercial messages.
Hi, this is Jim Trelekas. Whether you're an avid angler or custom rod builder like me, you need to team up with the leading innovator in rod building related products, Batson Enterprises. From rain shadow rod blanks, engineered by anglers for anglers, to quality rod components supplied by Alps and Forecast, Batson Enterprises will enhance the quality of your fishing and rod building experience. Batson Enterprises for many years has excelled in incorporating rod building technologies and techniques into every product sold. Owner Bill Batson has assembled one of the finest group of in-house professionals to assist you with your every rod building question or need. So take it from me, Jim Trelekas. When my customer's expectation is for me to build them the finest fishing rod their money can buy, I turn to Batson Enterprises for the best rod components my money can buy.
Hi. This is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a long-time-owned family business. Go to lensandcharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience. Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fish at Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419. Or their website of CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com. Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan Vandenberg's with us tonight. Our special in-studio guest is Rob Tressler. He's here. Rob, thanks a lot for showing on up.
Glad you know, to be here.
Our next friend is, our next guest is a good friend of all of ours, and we've got him coming on in to kind of give us the latest on what's happening at the landings and also some of the unique projects he's working on. It's Danny Wade from H&M Landing. Danny, welcome to the show, sir.
How you doing, John?
Hey, we are doing good. We got Stan with us tonight, and obviously Rob here, you know, too. we're talking fishing here, but I got to tell you, what's happening at the landings right now?
Oh, not a lot, really. A little bit of half-day stuff. Most of these guys are getting ready to do boats, do a bunch of boat work. There'll be some, you know, below the border stuff on a half-day, guys, once the new year gets here, when the closure comes in for the rockfish. There's going to be some colonette trips going on and things of that nature. There will be probably a smattering of some tuna fishing, depending on what goes on. But it's just a typical time of year. I mean, you know, you could have tuna biting 30 miles off of Point Loma. And this time of year, it's really difficult to get people to go.
Well, you know, as Stan refers to, aren't we also getting into the long range season? So you've got like the American Angler going out and you've got the Searcher going out and, you know, getting, doing trips now down south.
Well, I mean, the long trips, you know, this is now the time of that 12, 14, 15, 18 day time frame. And they're chasing down around, you know, whether they be the lower bank or out to the hurricane or whatever it is. You know, trying to get that 300-pound yellowfin and a whole bunch of wahoo.
Well, I know Wendy's on the American Angler right now. As a matter of fact, I think they are actually listening to us on the boat because she sent us a whole slew of pictures. They've got wahoo. They've got yellowtail. They got a few tuna. So that long-range fishing down there, is that staying about the same as we've seen it in the past years, or is it changing a little bit, Danny?
Well, it changes all the time. I mean, that fishing down there is like anything else. You know, it's all about conditions of the day. People tend to get this thing that, you know, you go on, say, a 15-day trip on whichever boat you go on. You're down there, and you're just smoking these things every day. Well, it can be long, boring days with no fish, no bites. But you're not there to catch 27, you know, 20-pound tuna. You're there to catch a 300-pound tuna. That's what those trips are based on.
Yeah, Stan, you have a comment?
No, I'm agreeing with Danny. He's 100% correct. You know, you go down there, it's miserable, cold, and rainy up here. You get on a boat, you're going down toward the equator. It gets warmer. You're fishing in shorts again. But you're fishing for a fish that you can't catch up here. You know, that's why you're going down there. You're not going to catch wahoo in any numbers up here. You're not going to get grouper that you can get down there, several different versions, you know, even the snapper that you can catch. I mean, there's eaters down there that we go down there, and you're limited to a number, you know, 25 or 30 fish that you can bring home. So and like a Dorado. I don't know why the Hispanic community down there said a Dorado is worth four of any other fish. It's the rat of the sea or the rabbit of the sea. But you go down on these long-range trips to catch fish you can't catch here in the weather that we don't want to go fishing in out here. So, you know, that's just the time of the year. If you want to catch an albacore, you got to go where albacore are. If you're going to want to catch a yellowfin, you got to go or a big one. Like Danny said, if you want a 300-pounder, you're going to have to travel down and try to get a 200- or 300-pound fish where that fish is. And that's just what we do.
I will say that this bluefin fishery up here, you know, people come, you know, say they get a 220, 250-pounder up here in the bluefin. You go down there and tackle one of those 250 yellowfin, that's a new world.
That was just telling them.
We've had that discussion.
They will tear you up. I've watched 50 wides just empty, you know. And they're a different structure. They've got a bigger tail than a bluefin by like almost 20%. So that, you know, that power plant is big and it is powerful.
Well, Danny, we've had a pretty epic 2022 season. The boats have been going out jammed. You know, we talked with Captain Taft. He says the Legend has, you know, only missed like 5 days. And, you know, so even though things are slowing down with regards to 2022, are the boats now booking for 2023, and how are those bookings going?
Well, I mean, they're starting to book them. Some of these guys are still figuring out their multi-day schedule. Typically, most of that traditionally would come out sometime in March. So it'll depend on when they get all their stuff together and, you know, what charters they got, what open party stuff they're going to do, and so on and so forth. But typically, most of it happens around March.
All right. And, you know, we also have the holidays coming on up, and nothing says I love you more than a little something from the fishing landings. And I think H&M has a special offer going on right now for fishermen from the landings. You want to tell us about that, Danny?
Well, it's a gift certificate, if you will. You can get a $100 gift certificate by spending $80.
Wow.
Wow. Is there any limit on the amount of dollars that is? Because some of these trips are, $800,
$1,000. Yeah, you're allowed to get up to, $400, I think.
Okay.
In a gift card, which will end up being $500.
So that applies to trips as well as to merchandise, or just the merchandise, Danny?
Whatever. You want to use it, like on the rig, the Top Gun. You want to use it on there, so be it.
All right. And how about whatever you want.
You want to buy a shirt with it, and what you don't use, you just use it later for something else.
Well.
They don't go bad. They don't wear out.
Danny, we were running into spot shortages of some of the more popular tackle items, and how are you looking right now in the tackle store? And I would say this is the time to come in and start buying stuff.
We're well stocked. It depends on what you're looking for. We got a lot of surface iron, the yo-yo jigs, and various trolling jigs of one variety or another. So the knife jigs and the SKs and the flat falls and lionfish and so on and so on. Full stock of rods, reels, whatever you're really looking for. The DW2 will be here in stock here pretty quick. We're just waiting on Jerry to get them here.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. What is
Danny,
the difference?
Yeah, what's a DW2?
Yeah, what's the difference?
It's to make it simple, if you took a Tatty 4.0 and shrunk it.
Really?
Shrunk it by about a half an inch and made it thinner and a little bit wider.
No kidding.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, works well.
Wow. And Danny, is there anything on the books for a jig that you would use in deeper water?
All kinds of, it depends on, that's kind of a wide open, how deep? Are we yo-yo fishing yellowtail, or are we trying to fish big tunas, or?
I'm thinking yo-yo fishing. Is there a DW something maybe for yo-yo fishing?
Yeah, there's a DW on a yo-yo jig. They come in either zinc, or you can get them in brass. I got guys using them wahoo fishing with the chrome single hook.
Wow. Well, the 2022 season is just about over, and as you say, things are slowing down there at the docks, but you still have trips going out. Again, what type of trips do you have going out? Are there still boats, trying to see if they can get enough guys that want to go out for tuna?
There are here and there, most of those guys are winding down, and these boats will run, 200 days, 240 days, and there's a lot of work to be done, and it takes time to do it. The Premier, the half-day boat, is out now for a month. It's up in Newport Harbor, and so on and so forth. So a lot of these guys are going to be doing work. There are some, mainly scheduled on weekends, but during the week will be tough. The half-day boat now until the closure in January is going to be doing a single trip a day, except for weekends. It's a regular schedule, but an 8-to-4 kind of thing, midday, half-day, if you will. The Daiwa Pacific is going to do it until the Premier gets back. I might jump on that Tuesday if there's enough people to go.
Nice.
All right. Any signs of any yellowtail out there anymore? Because I know you're the guy that wants to sling the iron and get after those guys.
You know, some of my skiff buddies are still picking away here and there, you know, one fish, two fish kind of thing. But there hasn't been a 40 boat there that I'm aware of in a month or more.
Wow. Well, if we are interested in looking at the boats that are already scheduling for 2023, or maybe looking with the kids getting out of school for holiday here and getting on a half-day trip. Also, some of the boats should be offering whale watching and then science trips. Are there any trips like that scheduled right now?
We're not doing any whale watching. Some of the science trips that are done through the boat itself, which would be the Ocean Odyssey. The half-day trips will take off here, I would think, next week. As you get, you know, that week before Christmas and the week after, because that's when various school breaks are and things of that nature.
And you still have a couple of boats going out of there for lobster, do you not?
Yeah, we have two, as a rule, the Alicia and the Jig Strike. $95, they leave at 6 p.m., get back in before midnight. The reason they get back in before midnight is because the one-day license expires at midnight.
Okay.
So that's and, why they got to be in before that.
And from what I'm looking at, from the jig, it looks like the crawl has been pretty good this year for those guys.
It's been relatively consistent. You know, like anything, it has its ups and downs. But the last week and a half or so has probably been as good as it's been all year, you know. I can't tell you what day of the week it was, but we, you know, the Alicia and the Jig Strike, you know, they had upwards of 20 legals and, you know, 30 or 40 shorts.
Wow.
And, you know, that's good hooping.
Well, Danny, can we, those gift certificates that are being offered, can fishermen buy them online, or do they have to come into the shop there?
Online, I think, you can do it either way, but I think online is the best way to do it. And that way it gets sent to you online, comes in your email, it comes in a nice fancy little, you know, little email, and you can wrap it up and give it to whoever you're going to give it to. But if you have difficulty with it online, you can always call in. And if you happen to be down the street, you can walk in the door.
You know, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife is now offering the 365-day license, and you can't buy those until the beginning of the year, but you will be offering those or are offering them right now, are you not?
You can buy those right now.
Okay.
They are not valid.
They're not good until the first of the year, or are they
right.
good
they're not
at
valid
the time you buy
until
it?
January 1.
Yeah.
But if you were to buy your new license in March, well, then it's that 365-day period. From March,
right.
Instead of losing, you know, a couple of months because you didn't buy
prevailed.
It.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, and it's been, you know, they've been talking about it since I was a kid. And now it's finally come to be real, and I think it'll probably help them sell more licenses even, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping. And then also, they're offering a automatic repeat by plan two. So, you know, that works out pretty good too. So, man, there's all kinds of good things happening still at the landings. And if we want to find out more about what's happening out there so we can get involved, how's the best way of doing it, Danny?
Website, you go hmlanding.com. And then you can just call in here if you want, 619-222-1144. It's amazing. That's the same phone number this place has had since 1935.
Wow. You know, Danny, you have a tremendous amount of gear over there that you have for rental. Is any of that stuff offered for sale at any particular time, or do you trade it back in with the manufacturers, or what happens to your rental gear?
We very rarely offer it for sale because we just destroy it. some of the stuff that's, you know, feasibly savable and whatnot, you know, like Dan Hernandez, well, you know, his, you know, kids fishing stuff, we'll donate it to that or something, or friends of Rollo and that type of thing. But for the most part, it's really not. worth using, the one not worth trying to buy. It's destroyed.
You know, and some of the fishermen, they say, well, I'm going to buy my own Spectra this year and put it on. I'm going to save a little bit of money. But I think there's no other thing, better thing to do is to take it to a professional that knows how to do that. And you there at H&M Landing, you probably wind more Spectra than any 10 guys in the country, I think.
Oh, we do a ton of it. But the problem we have is guys come in and they've wound it on themselves. And I look at him and I say, you know, this isn't going to fly. It's not going to work. All it's going to do is bury inside itself. And I just pull on it a little bit, and you can see it. It's bury inside itself. And then they ask if you can fix it. And I, well, maybe. I mean, I have the capability to fix it, but do I have the time? You know, it
takes 45 minutes. Yeah, 100 yards short on the spool or 50 yards short on the spool because you've packed it on properly.
Yeah.
Oh, it can be more than that. If you pack it on the right way, you could be 200 yards or 300 yards off the spool. Because the guys, people don't understand the pressure that's put on. You can't put 50 pounds or 40 pounds or 30 pounds of drag pressure on a spool twist that Spectra on with your fingers. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, when we put it on, I mean, we put, you know, that little braking system that's on a lot of these machines, man, it's tight. It's tight. But, wow. You know, it's got to be that way, you know, otherwise it buries into itself. I highly recommend if you're out there and you're thinking about getting braid, have a professional put it on for you. Any of these landings, you know, your shop and so on, but have a professional put it on for you. Don't do it, you know, putting a spool between your toes at home and try and wind it on.
Using your Crocs or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. That happens all the time, you know.
Yeah. Well, Danny, if we want to get a hold of you and talk more about this or, you know, find out what the schedule is at H&M Landing, how's the best way to go about doing it?
Well, I mean, if they want to get a hold of me, I'm here Thursday through Monday. But other than that, again, it's get on the website, hmlanding.com. And or call the landing itself, 619-222-1144. They can help you with any kind of reservation. You're going to make one, you know, whether it be a half-day trip or 10 days or anything in between. Or if you want to charter an entire boat for a group or whatever you want to do, yeah. If you want to come in and talk surface iron fishing, come in and say hi. I'll help you out.
Oh, I know you will, Danny. You know, if there's anyone out there that might be looking to give their significant other a Christmas gift that they'll definitely appreciate, what might you have there in the shop that you can recommend? If there's one thing that maybe will be that wow factor on Christmas morning.
Oh, man, I have no idea. It could be any number of 2,000 different things, you know.
I say that they should get a package of DW iron from Danny to complement the surface iron and yo-yo iron.
You can get them all. You can get surface iron and yo-yo iron and all of that stuff nowadays. Like I say, the DW2 is on its way. It should be here within, you know, I don't know, anytime. I mean, Jerry could walk them in the door tomorrow. I'm not really sure. You know, we've ordered, I don't know, 500 or 600 of them, something like that.
I actually saw a post that there was an order of JRIs that came in there, and they came in a special way. They were actually flown in a very unique way.
Well, Jerry's got his own, you know, he's got his own airplane.
Ha! There you go. I see that he actually he landed at Lindbergh Field so he could make his deliveries. So that's kind of a special service for sure. Well, hey, Danny, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're there at work, and, you know, thanks for taking the time. And we want to thank, you know, the management there for letting you spend some time with us. We look forward to seeing you this, you know, before the holiday comes around.
I'll be around.
All right.
I'll be around. Hopefully I'll be out at Coronado Islands here soon. That's what I'm hoping.
Hey, that'd be a good place to see you because we know we'd be with you, and that'd be a lot of fun. Danny, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
All right, man. You can have a good night.
Hey, we're going to take a break, Danny. Right now. Oh, wait. Yeah, what's that, Stan?
I just said Merry Christmas, Danny. We'll catch you on the other side.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about tuna fishing here in Southern California with Stan, Rob Tressler, our special guest, and if I have an idea that comes up, I might even contribute it too. So stay tuned. There's a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come after these messages.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
Since being established in 2015, CCA has achieved great success for the entire sport fishing industry in the fight for our right to fish here in California. 2021 brought us plenty of success, but every year brings new battles, and we need your help. One of the best ways to help support CCA Cal is to join us and become a member, because strength is certainly in our numbers. Become a member today by logging on to joincca.org. Membership starts at $35 per year, and that is one of the best ways to help us while you go fishing.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft-plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success of the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish a tournament circuit like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT, for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262, or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free, and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the sports boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart, the San Diego Blood Bank. Fishing for a way to make a difference in your community? Consider donating blood or making a financial donation to the San Diego Blood Bank. Your gift will impact medical research, revolutionize how we improve health and treat disease, and most importantly, give the gift of life. But we can't do it without you or without your help. Visit SanDiegoBloodBank.org to make an appointment or to give a financial donation today. It's the best way to give back. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
And we want to welcome you back to Ron Real Radio. Stan Vandenberg's with us tonight. In studio guest is recreational tuna angler extraordinaire Rob Tressler. If you're wondering what's happened to Wendy, Wendy is on the American Angler right now, and she is sending pictures and comments and everything else like that. So it's almost like she is with us, but she is having a great time on the American Angler. They're into yellowtail, wahoo. I haven't seen a lot of tuna yet, but they are just having a great time, and I think we will most likely hear about it next week. Well, we got Rob Tressler with us, and Stan, obviously. Rob, I want to talk to you about, you just came back this past weekend from pretty successful tuna trip. We're talking about the first week of December. Tell me about your trip, how the bite was, and how it seems to be changing from what you've seen in the past few months.
Yeah, I went, none of the boats could get off the docks at San Diego. I think it wasn't a shortage of fish, it was a shortage of fishermen. And some of the boats, as Danny mentioned, are going into repair now, so it's that time of year. But we went up, I went up and got on the Freedom out of 22nd Street, and I've never been up there, never been to that landing or been on that boat, and I was pleasantly surprised. It's a really nice boat. It's got the same plan and layout as the Grande out of H&M, actually. It's well-maintained. They had a good crew. And that bite on the better grade bluefin that we'd had the last couple of weeks at the 381 near the east end of San Clemente has gone away. Those fish have moved, and they haven't really been able to relocate them. We were actually talking to other sport boats in the area while we were up there this weekend, and they said they saw no signs of them. There wasn't a night bite anymore either. We'd been having a pretty good night bite, and that had faded as well. In fact, it was for us the same thing. We got to the Tanner, we anchored on the high spot. A lot of squid around, and water's cold. It's that time of year. But, I mean, my God, I've been on the Tanner in winters past, and I've never seen squid like we saw. It's like driving through an ocean of the darn things. It was pretty wild. It was National Geographic stuff. We got there, we set the pick, dropped the anchor, and started slowly, waited for daybreak. Some guys fished at night. I put out a little bit and pumped a couple squid and some sardine for nothing. Nobody got bit. And when the sun came up, he started marking some fish swimming through, and we started throwing some chum. We had a couple boils off the back, and we went into a bite that lasted about 3 hours, and we put, I think, 47 or 48 on the boat. Nothing big. That 80 to 200-pound stuff wasn't around. These were all 20 to 30-pound bluefin, but people were having a great time. It was a really mellow group of anglers, and pretty much all of them kind of knew what to do. So we were catching them on slider rigs with squid. We were catching them on sinker bait rigs with sardines, and we were catching them on fly line baits with sardines as well, because they were up high. They were anywhere from 80 to 200 feet underneath the boat. We were only in like 340 feet of water at the time on the high spot. There were boats all around us, and we could hear them whooping and hollering, so they were getting hooked up as well. We ended the trip with, I think, 50 or 51 bluefin for 38 anglers. We should have limited out. I hooked far too many that didn't get on the boat, but I had a lot of fun. And we had a break during the midday. It slowed down. The bite slowed. So he pulled the pick, and we went and hit some hard spots he had in 300 feet of water for rockfish, and caught some really nice ling cod up to 20 pounds, and some really nice reds and chuckleheads that were like, you know, in the 4 to 6 pound range. Only caught one cow cod, which was released, and it was a small one, maybe a 15 pounder. But people had a great time. We hit a deep spot, and then we hit a high spot, and we got swarmed by boccaccio and whitefish. So by that time, it was late afternoon. We went back over to our spot, but it was already getting dark, and the bite had pretty much died off. We did get into a school of gigantic bonita. I mean, these things were like 13 to 15 pounds. We thought they were blue when we got hit. We thought, oh, yeah, these are bluefin. And then, but they're kind of funny, but boy, they sure are pulling hard. They got to be bluefin. Got them up, and they were the biggest bonita I think I've ever seen. Some of these were like 15-pound fish. They were just huge. And that was it for the night. And then we drove around looking for a night bite on the deep water jigs, but we didn't find it at all. And that was kind of the fleet said, yeah, they couldn't locate any of that bigger grade stuff up in that zone anyway. I suspect it may have slid inside more, not outside, or sunk out. We don't know. I was talking to Andrew Viola on the Pacifica 2 weeks ago, and he was telling me that some of the commercials he knew that deep drop fish were catching good grade bluefin on their deep drop sets in 1,000 feet of water.
Mm.
So he said it was in the same area, you know, near the basin and stuff like that and the slide. And it wasn't that the fish weren't there. They'd just gone deep. And that's obvious. You're not gonna wind up, you know, it's not realistic for us on a sport boat to fish 1,200 feet deep for bluefin tuna. But, you know, that was interesting. He suspects that these fish don't always go away per se. They just sink out. And that makes sense if you think about it biologically. The deep scattering layer is here all the time. And in the daytime and up until night, it stays at 1,200 feet in the daytime. And I could see them swimming around at depth to eat if there isn't a lot of bait. There's rumors of anchovy now moving in closer to the shoreline, and maybe that'll pull some tuna into that general area up there, but we'll have to see. We didn't see a lot. We saw a lot of squid on Tanner Bank. And a lot of bait. So I think that bodes well for at least this smaller grade of bluefin hanging around. As long as the weather doesn't knock us sideways and mess things up, I think that we're going to have, you know, for those that are interested in catching that smaller grade bluefin and maybe getting some really good rock fishing in before the closures and stuff are implemented, now's the time to go. We were lucky it was a lake out there, sheet glass. It was almost too calm. But the tuna were biting. It didn't matter, and we had a good group of people. And by that, what I mean is it wasn't that we didn't get into tangles. We had 38 anglers on the boat, and the boat drifts stern first. And on the hook, on the pick, that means everybody was ending up on the stern pretty much. So we had some horrendous tangles when people hooked fish, but everybody remained really calm and chill about it, and we're very methodical about getting out of tangles or not worrying if their lines had to be cut to save the fish and regroup and get back in the water. So it was a lot of fun. It's a good boat. Hopefully, you know, some anglers will be able to get together and get one of the boats. I think the Tribute is still running. I'm not sure if the 095 is still running out of San Diego, but there were a couple boats that were still on the books as being available. I'm not sure how much that's going to hold up. The Freedom said that they will continue going as long as they've got folks wanting to get on the boat. And, you know, when the tuna dies, they'll just flip over to rock fishing up in that area in that zone as well. It remains to be seen what's going to happen with these bigger fish, where they're going to show back up again. There's rumors of them still being around the area, though. They're not gone. That's for sure, but that's all I can say.
Rob, let's talk about fly lining because of the fact that, you know, it seems like these – fish are one weekend they're deep and you can get them on jigs and irons, and then the next weekend all of a sudden you're fly lining. And there are a number of different techniques, and I'm thinking maybe more like using live bait. And you know, obviously you can fly line them, that works out, but then there is the sinker rig method, and there are some new nuances when it comes to fishing a sinker rig. And you've been having some success where the fishermen, when this started off, they were using 16-ounce sinkers, 12-ounce sinkers. You're actually now going to a lighter sinker. And tell us about that setup.
Yeah, it's really, really been an eye-opener for me. And at first I was skeptical, but Shane Wright on the Tomahawk was fishing with us. And we were sinker bait fishing, and the fish were marking at 180 to 220 feet. And he was using a 2-ounce sinker, a 2-ounce torpedo rubber banded on. And he was getting down there to that depth with a 2-ounce. And we didn't have much of a drift, but we had some drift. And the rest of us were using 6 and 8 ounces. He was out fishing everybody 3-1 on the boat because I was tracking it. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? You know, because I fancy myself as being competent at sinker bait fishing. I don't like it. I prefer fly lining, or I prefer nighttime jig fishing. But if you got to do it, you got to do it. And the only major difference other than the sinker being a lot lighter was he put a swivel. So he had he'd have a 20-foot top shot of fluorocarbon, not monofilament, but fluorocarbon. At the end of that 20-foot top shot, he would tie a small swivel, 80 to 100-pound swivel. And then from that swivel, he would tie another 6 feet of fluorocarbon to his hook, his circle hook. Right above the swivel, he would rubber band on a 2-ounce sinker. He'd then go to the bait well, and he would grab the biggest, hottest sardine he could find and put it on. And I watched when he dropped it in the water, he'd drop it in somewhat delicately. The sardine would start swimming, and he'd let the sinker go in too, and that sardine would swim down. And I watched it happen with a 2-ounce sinker. He was almost free spooling that sardine down to 200 feet and bit again. And again, he hooked 31 fish. He was hooking and handing. He hooked 31 bluefin. And these were 70 to 110-pound fish. It was wide open for him. It was not wide open for the rest of the boat. And I got to thinking about it and looking at it, and I started doing it. And it what it boils down to is it's deep water fly lining. The sinker is so light that with a healthy sardine, there's still – he said – I can feel one coming after the bait. He said, my bait's getting excited. So he's actually swimming that sardine down there. When the sardine stops, he just stops the spool so it doesn't overrun or do anything, you know, or foul the line. There's something about the setup and the swivel that prevents it from fouling. It doesn't foul. And if you've got a hot bait, you just let it rip. And it's almost like you're free spooling a sinker bait rig, which we know thou shalt not do that. You must drop a sinker bait slow to keep the sardine from coming up and fouling on the main line. And with the heavier sinker, where that sardine is just tethered, it works. But they're actively swimming down. So I was doing that on this trip. We had guys that got 5 or 6 bites. I hooked up 8 times on this trip, which was more than anybody else on the boat. But I was the only one using that system. Other guys were using 8-ounce sinker bait rigs. And my baits could swim, and you'll have it down at 180, 200 feet, and all of a sudden you'll feel that bait start going crazy, and you're bit. Or on the retrieve, coming back up, you wind a lot faster because you've got a swivel on it now, so you don't have the twist and the roll. You can wind, retrieve a lot faster, and you're bit. So I'd suggest it, but the thing about it is you've got to remember is now you're actively fishing the bait like you do a fly line. You're not formally backpedaling completely, although there are times when if the sardine stops and it's kicking to try and come up, that might mean it senses some danger below it at greater depth. I'll stop the reel, and I'll take a couple winds to trigger it to start swimming again down deep, and it'll start pulling line off the spool again. And it's kind of neat because you can tell when you're going to get bit because the sardine, all of a sudden the spool will speed up. It's a sinker bait, though, at 200 feet. It'll speed up. But because it's a little 2-ounce sinker, he can pull that sinker. And this it's very different than your standard sinker bait where you've basically got the sardine, you know, 5 or 6 feet away or 4 or 5, 3 to 5 feet away, pegged with an 8 or 10-ounce sinker. It's just sitting there like a dog on a tight leash. When the tuna are biting, it doesn't matter. That works fine. Or the drop shot method works fine. But if it's a finicky bite, and we had a finicky bite these last couple of trips, even on the bigger fish, I strongly recommend guys try it. It's a real eye-opener. But once again, it's just as critical to pick a hot bait for that style of sinker bait fishing as it is for fly line fishing. If you don't do that, if you get a sloppy bait, you're spinning your wheels. You got to get a good bait and get it down there. You also have got to use, unfortunately, and you get boxed in here, if you've got smaller baits and that's all you've got in the live well, you're forced to go to lighter stuff to try and get it down there because, once again, the whole intent here is to get the bait to swim and pull that setup through the water. And they will. It's amazing to watch because it's only a 2-ounce torpedo. The one caveat being, and it happened again on this trip, it happens every trip, is, and I'm using chrome torpedoes and I should get away from them, but about 1 out of every 5 times I'm bit, the chrome torpedo also gets hit and I get cut off.
Oh, man. You know,
I got to tell you, you know, little things make such a big difference in fishing.
It's huge.
In the bass fishing world, little things make big differences. What Rob's talking about, just the advent of throwing a swivel on there, that one little piece makes a big difference because if you watch a bait, when you drop your bait into the water fishing for this bluefin, if you don't have a lot of current and you don't have a ton of drift where you can get it down
to that fish, because that bluefin, if it's in that let's say 200 to 150 zone, that's those fish are eaters.
Yep.
The stuff that when you gotta get it down further than that, that's where your flat falls or your knife jigs have to get down there, because there's an element of drift no matter what you're on any of these boats. You know, you're going to be moving a little bit, but you got to get it down into where the fish are to get a bite. To use that anywhere from a 2 to 3, even a 5 or 8 ounce sinker, depending on how deep you have to go with that. The difference of putting a swivel on and then tying your fluorocarbon and your hook onto that, so that swivel keeps your bait from turning over and over and over, especially if you had like Rob said, to trigger a bite, move the bait. So he turned the handle and moved the bait and then let it go back out, and the fish took off again, and that will trigger a lot of times that bigger bluefin or the bluefin to eat, even yellowfin, doesn't make any difference. Moving bait makes the fish bite. So what he's giving you is all these great tips, people, of how to make something happen with when nothing is happening, and having a lot of my guys who use rubber bands instead of a swivel, but when he put the swivel on, that changed the dynamic of the rig, because that keeps your bait, even if it's turning around, it's still swimming at the end of the line, and the hook doesn't come back in and rehook the fish itself. There's a lot of people that, you know, little tips like this that Rob makes, because he's out there a lot and he does understand what he's doing and he makes adjustments for what he's doing. These things are really good for you to take in and take notice of. Little things make big differences.
You know, Stan, I think Rob has given us one of the best tips of the year that we can have. I've got a few questions, though, about what he's doing, but we've got to take a break right now. We're speaking with Rob Tressler, that Stan Vandenberg that you were listening to. We're talking some of the finer techniques that are being used for fishing bluefin tuna right now to help you get bit, but we got to take a commercial break. Rob Tressler, Stan, and myself will be back after these messages.
Hi, this is Jim Trelekas. Whether you're an avid angler or custom rod builder like me, you need to team up with the leading innovator in rod building related products, Batson Enterprises. From rain shadow rod blanks, engineered by anglers for anglers, to quality rod components supplied by Alps and Forecast, Batson Enterprises will enhance the quality of your fishing and rod building experience. Batson Enterprises for many years has excelled in incorporating rod building technologies and techniques into every product sold. Owner Bill Batson has assembled one of the finest group of in-house professionals to assist you with your every rod building question or need. So take it from me, Jim Trelekas. When my customer's expectation is for me to build them the finest fishing rod their money can buy, I turn to Batson Enterprises for the best rod components my money can buy.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to 4 extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a long-time-owned family business. Go to LensEndCharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience.
Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing at Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419, or their website of CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com.
Run Real Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
Hey, Stan Vandenberg and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Our special guest this hour is recreational tuna angler extraordinaire Rob Tressler. Rob, thanks a lot for spending some time with us.
Glad to be here.
Hey, you just gave probably one of the, I think, the biggest tips of the year, talking about fishing with this torpedo rig. Now, let me just get into a little more detail and ask you some questions about it. You've got your Spectra. What do you line up after you have that raw end of Spectra? How is that rig set up?
Well, I just use a standard, you know, whatever splice you want to use. I use an RP myself, and I know there's better, Tony Pena and others, but I never got a PhD in nautology, so I can't tie them that well. And I test them and make sure they work at home. But at least 20 feet of fluorocarbon is what I run from the Spectra. And that's just me following what Shane does. And that's what I've always run anyway. I run a longer top shot of fluor because I don't run a mono top shot. And I think you need the fluoro because you want the sink. Mono has a slight bit of buoyancy, and also it's a per pound, it's a slightly larger diameter than fluoro. So I think that it would work with mono, but probably won't work as well. So I'd strongly recommend use fluoro with a good knot from the Spectra with at least 20 feet of fluoro, and then to the end of the fluoro, a good knot to tie on a swivel.
Now, what pound fluoro? I mean,
it varies.
Is that the same thing as your leader, or do you use one particular pound fluoro, and then your leader you can adjust according to the conditions?
You can do that, and some guys do, and I've done it. You know, like I'll have a 60-pound main fluoro, and then I'll – well, you know, I'm going to switch down to 40 or something like that. But I'm having so much stuff. I have a 30-pound. I'll usually have – not a 30. I'll have a 40, a 60, and an 80 setup using that same system. The critical piece is as light a weight as you can get away with. And you won't believe that you can get down to 200 feet with a moderate to no – with no drift at all. You can easily get to 200 feet. With a moderate drift with a 2 ounce, you can get down to 150 to 180 feet. And if you go to a 3 or 4 ounce, it's easy to get down to 200 feet with a moderate drift even. I mean, in a breeze, you know. So it's amazing. Now, What you have to do, though, is if you've got a good breeze on top, because I was fishing this in a good breeze on top, and I hooked 13. I only put, you know, I hook and handed them. We only put 8 on the boat, but they were 80 to like 120-pound fish on this setup with 50 and 60-pound this time, a couple trips back. And we've caught them up to 150 pounds this way now, so it works on big fish. But you want to get a longer scope or a longer drift and basically long soak it a little bit, if you will. Now, it'll look like the line is laying up on top, so you think you've got too much scope or too much shallow angle. But when you wind down to the sardine and get that 10 or 15 yards of belly out of the line, you realize you're at a 45 or 50-degree angle, that sardine has swam it down even in the drift. As long as you're giving it some free, almost verging on free spool, which is, you know, thou shalt not free spool a sinker bait rig because you'll foul the sardine. It's been the mantra, and for the standard sardine sinker bait setup, that's true. The sardine will foul up the line. It doesn't do it if it's swimming and doing what it's supposed to do. You won't foul, or very rarely will you foul. And if you did, it's because you didn't wait. Sardine stopped for whatever reason, was trying to swim up and get away from something. And then at that point, if you're still dropping the sinker, yeah, you get underneath them. So you're actively feeding that sinker with that sardine. You feel it kicking. And it's only probably good up to, like, I've used it as heavy as 6 ounce and gone down to 280 feet and gotten bit that way. Beyond that, you're just pegging the sinker because it's a half pound now. And sardines just can't pull that around.
It sounds like the sardine is helping you get down there.
Absolutely.
In they conjunction are swimming it with down. The sinker. Now,
absolutely.
Hooking up your sardine, you butt hooking it, you shoulder hooking it, you're nose hooking it. What seems to be working best there?
Two flavors. Do never butt hook them, because remember, you're going to get bit on the retrieve. If you butt hook it, even though it's on a swivel, it's going to spin and it doesn't look normal. Some guys have nose hooked them and you can wind them back and get bit. I shoulder hook them still, because even retrieving, it looks like a Rapala. It still swims well with a shoulder hook coming back, and I get bit on the retrieve a lot. And the benefit of the shoulder hook is, you know how sometimes you wind in and you notice how that hook has rolled back into the fish's snout?
Yeah.
Which means you're not going to hook the fish. Never happens with shoulder hooking. And shoulder hooking was an accident. Lori was shoulder hooking for sinker bait fishing, and I said, don't do that. And she said, well, I already did it. I'm going to drop it in. She dropped in. She got bit. She forgot, and she did it again. She got bit again. And four fish later, I'm like, okay, something's going on here. And they actually swim better on a shoulder hook than they do on a nose hook, frankly. Think about it. If I put a 3-pound ring through your nose versus taking that same 3-pound ring, or maybe a 5-pound ring, put it through your nose, because it's a little sardine. You've got a hook through your nose, but let's just make it a 5-pound ring and say, okay, swim as fast as you can, versus putting that 5-pound ring on your back, where it's basically laying flat on your back. Hydrodynamically, you're going to swim a lot faster and more effectively. We should make a video of it. We took a sardine, and we put a nose hook through it, and we put a shoulder hook through it, and put it in live well, and just watched, because I don't believe anything. So I said, well, I want to see this. And sure enough, the shoulder hook sardine swam 5 times better than the nose hook sardine for a longer period of time. Both will work. If you know how to shoulder hook properly, which means you got to hook them forward, I'd suggest it, because you can still retrieve it, and that sardine just kicks like a Rapala coming back to the boat.
And the type of hook and size.
Circle hook. It depends on the bait and the size fish. I've used as small as number four Mutus, and I've used, you know, 2-aught Mutus for the bigger baits and the bigger fish. You know, once again, you get into a Sophie's choice. It's like, I'm marking jumbos at 180 feet, Rob. Oh, Jesus. All right. Got weak bait. I'm going to fish 80 pound, and I'm going to use a 1-aught or a 2-aught, you know, heavy hook, and as light of a weight as I can get away with. It's all about using as light a weight as you can get away with to get the bait down, to make that bait swim. And you're fly lining, because you'll feel the bait kicking through the line, and that's how you're feeding the line out, almost nearly in a free spool. And we know when we're going to get bit. So, he's taking off.
Ooh.
Something's coming, you know. And that's on a sinker bait, which is normally sinker bait is you're just kind of waiting like you're catfishing. And you've got a heavy sinker. The thing is pegged. and you're just waiting for something to come by and grab it, which, don't get me wrong, I've killed a lot of fish that way.
Yeah.
But this is different. I can't emphasize that you actively have to fish this setup or it doesn't work properly.
Now, Rob, this is go on, Stan.
I was going to say, this is classic bluefin fishing, because classic bluefin fishing has always been how to get the lightest setup to get the bite. And that's been forever. But what Rob's giving you is, you know, the situations that, because this has been an evolution of fishing. I mean, there are 30-year-old people that never caught an albacore, for God's sake, or more right now. But little things make big differences. So what Rob's telling you is all these little things is, if you can get it down to where you are finessing the fish, and that's what this is all about. You know, when you're talking about, you know, putting a lighter weight torpedo sinker on, even a sliding sinker, you know, the where you can rubber band it above your swivel, anything, because that's a real effective tool also. But all of these things come into play. Like if you're not using chapstick, the chapstick trick is the biggest thing to help you tie a knot in the history of fishing.
Yep.
If you don't know this, use chapstick on your Spectra before you tie your knot. Put about, take your thumb on your chapstick, put the line on it, and slide it down, make about 18 inches or so of on your Spectra with chapstick, and then tie your knot. Your knot will not come undone. When you tie your knot and you cinch it up, it will, you'll almost see it go opaque and lacquered, and your knot can't come undone with that lacquered finish on that thing. It'll secure your knot. Your Spectra is abrasive. It's got lots of holes in it. Whatever it is, the waxing compound of your chapstick will smooth that out. It'll tie a knot that won't come undone. That is a first and foremost for your knot tying, especially when you're going to pull hard on these fish over a long period of time. You can't have your connection come undone. But what Rob's giving you is, this is the finesse method to catch this fish. You can get inclement weather that can compound the situation. Wind, high weather, hard current, all those things come into play, and it changes it up. But for the basic foundation of what you're hearing here is finesse fish your bluefin to catch more fish.
Now, Rob, this is a technique that you're using, but you're not scrapping using the rubber band with a heavier sinker too, because there's a time and a place for that.
Yeah, when it's victory at sea, or if he's marking, you know, it's daytime and the jig bite's just not happening at 280, 320 feet, I'll drop down. I've gotten bit. You know, I'll use an 8 ounce. I've used a 10 ounce to get down there, but then I'm using something big. I'm using the biggest bait I can find in the box, or even a mackerel. And, you know, and actually I've gotten bit on mackerel, and I realized in hindsight, mackerel are so big and strong, it was probably acting like this finesse setup. It's just, if you've got a strong enough bait, it'll overpower that 8 or 10 ounce sinker. But yeah, there's a limit to it. I mean, if it's crazy drift out there, there's a limit to how much you can get away with. But for the majority of the time, even with a 4 ounce and 15 knots of wind, we were getting down there at 150 to 180 feet with a 4 ounce, though.
All right.
You got to have a strong bait.
You know, Rob, this information you're giving us on fishing tuna are great. I just want to spend just a couple of minutes, though, before the end of the show here. We're coming to the giving season of Christmas. There's all kinds of gift that we can give, but one of the biggest gifts we can give is the gift of life, and the way of doing it is by giving blood. I know your career has been intricately involved with the San Diego Blood Bank and the Blood Bank in general. Tell us a little bit about this time of the year and what's happening at the Blood Bank.
Well, this is a tough time of the year for the Blood Bank, and it's not anybody's fault. It's just, you know, we're coming into the holiday season. Our donors want to spend time with their families now. They have other priorities, and we understand that. So we tend to see a slump in donations. We also tend to see an uptick in need for blood, though, due to accidents, stress, or other things that are happening in our community. And so we've kind of got this perfect storm of a stressor on the blood bank in terms of need of donors. Whole blood, if you donate a unit of whole blood, you can save three lives with that. The red blood cells to save one person's life, the plasma to save another person's life, and the platelets to save a third person's life. Platelet donors, we're really, really hard up for those right now. And the platelet process takes a bit longer than giving a blood unit, but we're critically short on that. And it's one of the primary treatments we use for trauma victims and also for cancer patients. They use a lot of platelets because the platelets get destroyed by the chemotherapy and radiation therapy they're on. And during the holiday season, people don't stop getting sick and don't stop having their cancers and don't stop getting their treatments. So we really need people to step up and to come in and donate, please, because it is a slow time of the year for us. But the demand for it, if anything, has increased. So keep that in mind. And when you donate blood, you actually get younger. It's been shown now in a number of studies that men who donate on a regular basis reduce the risk of heart attack. Women and men that donate on a regular basis reduce the risk of certain forms of cancer. And you also burn 700 calories when you donate a unit of blood. Not saying it's a way to lose weight. You can't come in every week and donate a unit of blood, guys. But what that means for me is I can go and donate a unit of blood, and now I can go get – and we live in the Southwest. We have Tijuana and Mexico right here, so you can get really good, genuine Mexican food here in the San Diego area. So as soon as I donate blood, I realize that, and Taco Bell, here I come.
I got to say one thing here.
Go ahead, Stan.
We've been kicking around too, back and forth, and the yellowfin of bluefin, whatever else. But Rob, one of these days, I would love to have you come ride with me on one of my long range trips. Can't guarantee you're going to find them. Can't guarantee you're going to catch one. But if I hang one, I would hand them to you just to let you play with that thing.
It would be an honor. So let's talk about that, Stan. That would be fun.
You know, your trips are normally pretty much booked up ahead of time, Stan, but. Rob said, hey, going out on the Intrepid, going out with Stan and his crew, life does not get any better.
I run on the Indy here for the last little bit. I helped Kenny Price for the first 5 years on the Intrepid, but I've been running the Indy ever since with my group of guys out there and the crew with Matt and Brian as a captain and the guys that – excellent crew, excellent boat. I mean, I think it's the best fishing platform next to the Q, the qualifier. This is a qualifier on steroids out there, but we have a great group of guys, and you'd be welcome to come with us, buddy.
It'd be a learning opportunity of a lifetime for me. I'm always up for it. I think I'm comfortable enough to not be intimidated about going on long range boats, from all the meetings I've done.
Just fishing. It's just fishing. If you can turn the handle, and you know how to turn the handle, you know what to do when you get a bite. You know, we caught 9,000 marlin this last trip. Man, we didn't want any of them.
And if you're having any anxiety about fishing on long range trip, check with us next week because Wendy should be back from her trip on the American Angler. And I think we might get a little bit of a taste of what fishing is on a long-range trip with Wendy, because they're not fishing all the time, because I'm seeing pictures of too much good food going on.
I'm going to listen in on that one. I want to find out what she was up to.
Rob, hey, we can't thank you enough for spending the time to be with us. I know with the work that you're doing right now, your time is very valuable. It's even cutting into your fishing time work. What's happening there?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we started a new company, and me and my CEO of the San Diego Blood Bank, we've spun a company out of the San Diego Blood Bank called Excellos. We're a biotech company that generates immune cells that are then used to treat cancer patients. So we went from 8 employees 12 months ago to 50 employees as of today. So it's been pretty hectic. We've moved into new facilities. We're building new labs. We're downtown. We still have labs with the San Diego Blood Bank. We're affiliated with them still at a certain level, but we've got a whole new company.
All right. Rob Tressler, thanks for sharing the info. Stan, as always, your input is great. check in next week when we have Wendy back with us from Fishing on the American Angler, and who knows what other list of guests to have. So until then, we want to thank Israel and the AM 540 studios, Ben Harvey, our local producer, and always in memory of Big Tuna Bill, Eddie McCune, and Mr. Paul Leader, who helped keep us on the air. Good night, everyone. You have a great week. We'll be back next Sunday night on AM 540 starting at 5.05 p.m. So go out there, listen, please, support our sponsors, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next Sunday night. Good night, everyone.
Ah, you know.
Well, there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition.